Welcome, Bucks fans, to JoeBucksFan.com and the Ira Kaufman podcast. It's a special Friday edition, a post-mortem edition of the Ira Kaufman podcast, which, of course, is always presented by Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. Visit their fantastic websites, EdMorseCadillacTampa.com and EdMorseCadillacBrandon.com, the only place to start your car shopping experience. And I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com, here with the immortal Lee DeCamper of JoeBucksFan.com, and the guest of honor himself, Ira Kaufman, Tampa Bay's only Pro Football Hall of Fame voter. We're live at One Buck Palace in the aftermath this morning of the mess of John Lynch night and what the Bucks put out there. And Ira, all I can say is, what the hell happened?
Now, Isbitz, you just said something very interesting, which might be a first for this podcast, but you said post-mortem. Does that suggest there's a cadaver to be discussed, Steve? Is there something that's lifeless that is right in front of us? Look, the three of us are grown men, and we didn't get much sleep last night, and here we are. And I don't think it's incumbent on us to mince our words, Steve. So on a night when John Lynch was inducted into the Ring of Honor, and I stood among Lynch, Sapp, and Derek Brooks downstairs, I've got to tell our listeners that almost every other minute, I saw the three of them looking up at the video board when the Bucks were on defense and shielding their eyes or wincing. Ooh, you can't do that. They were incredulous about how easily the Falcons were carving up your Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And I just thought, you know, to see the parallels between these three Tampa Bay defensive icons, Steve and Lee, and watching the current units under Mike Smith and their incredible struggles the past 2 weeks, what an incongruous moment it was, because these guys represent a certain era of Buck football that started the passion around here. And now we see the kind of state of affairs we're in, Lee. What a drop off from what used to be.
Well, you actually perked me up a little bit there, Ira, the incongruous vocabulary lesson.
There you go.
I love the vocabulary lessons. Every podcast, we learn something.
Now, I'm going to ask Isbitz to spell it by the end of the podcast, but that's all right.
You know my point exactly, and what's kind of baffling to me is I thought this defense had turned a corner. I thought they started to show signs of life against Denver. Granted, they're playing Derek Anderson, but in the past, Derek Anderson has been a puzzle this team could not solve, and they got him. They beat him. You know, I thought the defense had turned a corner, and wow, somebody must have found something on film, because are they getting exposed? Holy cow, they're looking like someone let Lovie Smith back in the One Buck place. Maybe he is that miserable in Champagne.
You know, Steve, I know the Falcons came in leading the league in scoring, total offense. I voted for Matt Ryan. With the AP asked me for my midseason ballot, I wrote in Matt Ryan's name. He certainly didn't do anything tonight to hurt his chances.
Just to clarify, Ira, that's for MVP.
That is for MVP. A midseason league MVP. I voted for Matt Ryan. No Buck made my ballot. No Buck. Sorry to say. But, Steve, even given the fact that Atlanta, I don't believe, has scored less than 23 points in any game this year, during their 5-3 start. That's no excuse, Steve. It's no excuse. You're under the bright lights, gentlemen, a national TV audience, Lynch in the house, halftime ceremony, Buck icons everywhere you look, Dungy in the house, and you don't show up, Steve. I thought, now this might be simplistic, you tell me. I saw one out of 22 Bucks show up tonight. His name was Mike Evans. I thought he left it all on the field. Great performance by Mike Evans. The passion was palpable. There's another one for you, DeCamper. Steve, and I didn't see his teammates match it.
Couple of things. First, you know, Lee said he thought the Bucks turned the corner on defense. Yeah, they turned the corner into oncoming traffic is really what they did here, because it's beyond disgraceful. Now, Ira, enough of this stuff. Enough of this stuff you're talking about. It's all very wonderful. Mike Evans is one guy. He showed up. Showed up with an intensity and a fire and a passion. I might go there and say Jameis was in that boat, but he fumbled. He's missing passes again. Ball security is his number one job, and he failed at that. And this was not a great night for Jameis Winston by any stretch of the imagination. And although he surely wasn't the reason they lost. But Ira, why? Why is this happening? Who do you blame? And what does Cutter do now at the halfway point when he's got a team that doesn't show up and just is now 0-4 at home? Why? And what does he do next?
Well, Lee, some fans would point to injuries. But I dare say, you know, there's not a team out there that hasn't had a rash of injuries. And most of them are the equal or more than the Buccaneers. They've had Jameis Winston for every snap, basically. You know, when
his streak broke tonight.
You know, other teams lose their quarterback, Steve. So, look, they don't look well coached, Lee. I'm going to be very blunt about it.
Not defensively.
They don't look well coached.
Not defensively.
Steve. And to that point, may I remind you gentlemen of what I believe is an illuminating sequence. I believe it was early second quarter, Mr. Isbitz, when the Bucs had a chance to accept a 15-yard penalty that would have created 3rd and 22 and a long-distance field goal for Matt Bryant if they don't, you know, get a completion on third down. And instead, Dirk Koetter said, declined. So what happened? He kicks a 41-yarder, of which he makes about 95% of those. Made it like it was no problem, a walk in the park. And all of a sudden, you're down 6 instead of down 3. Steve, are you going to accept that? As bad as this defense is playing, that shows absolutely no confidence.
Yeah, it was a ridiculous call at the time. I couldn't believe it. I was reviewing everything to see.
This is not a 5-yard penalty.
No, it was a 15-yard penalty. And Cutter could have put them in 3rd and 23 or a 56-yard, 3rd and 23.
3rd and 22, I had it. But okay.
Whatever okay. It was. The 22-23, split the hair however you want. If you can't, this is early in the game.
Yes.
If you can't give your defense that opportunity and you're content with the Falcons putting 3 on the board because you don't think you can play a prevent defense
successfully.
You're
basically giving them 3 points there. Yes.
Come on.
Yes.
That's just bad news. And it also saying, okay, I don't have any defensive playmakers on my D-line, even though Robert Ayers is making $8 million a year. Gerald McCoy is making 10. I won't give them a shot to make a
don't
play.
Don't forget about 54 also.
I don't understand that. But for our listeners here listening, Dirk Koetter said after the game, he was asked about that. He said they had talked about it, and they just felt that, you know what, a lot could go wrong with Matt Ryan.
It might be even worse.
It might be even worse. And they thought they would take their shot.
Who thinks it could be worse on 3rd and 22, Lee?
Well, Steve was incredulous. There we go, vocabulary.
There you go.
He was sitting next to me watching us live at the press box last night at Raymond James Stadium, the Den of Depression. And I agreed with Cutter. How could you? I mean, the defense, they can't. It's like, you know, Steve was like, oh, you can't do that. I'm like, he understands. He knows his defense. He knows he can't stop him.
But, Lee, part of coaching is to show a little confidence in your group.
Well, here, I'm going to go Bobby Knight here with you here. I'm going to go Bobby Knight. This is my favorite Bobby Knight stars, and this is relevant.
You're bringing Bobby Knight into a discussion on the Buccaneers?
This is relevant with confidence. I love this analogy.
I know he's stumping for Donald Trump, his bits, but I don't expect this from DeCamper.
Bobby Knight, especially with his best teams, he was always tinkering with his lineup. I can't remember the guard's name. And he always pulled this guard after 2 or 3 minutes. He'd keep putting him back in the game and kept pulling him.
Wasn't Quinn Buckner, was it?
No. This is maybe 5 or 6 later, years later. And I guess at some point in mid-season, a reporter covering the Hoosiers asked him, like, oh, don't you think this is screwing with the kid's confidence? Knight shot back, what about my confidence? And so that's what I think of here. You know, you're talking about with players' confidence. Well, Cutter's like, what about my confidence?
I understand what Lee's saying, Steve, but I don't agree with it.
It's weak sauce. That's what it is. This was a playoff game tonight.
They were down by 3.
This is a playoff game. You had to win this game. You're at home. You got to give it your all. You got to go for it. If you don't have faith in your defense, just mail it in. Mail it in. What are you doing?
You had a great opportunity tonight to pull on Atlanta's heels and sweep them and go 3-0 in a division.
Have you ever seen a coach in the first half of a game turn down 3rd and 23?
No.
Have you, Lee?
Not off the top of my head.
Not that I can remember.
But when you've seen a defense like this where it looked like Pasco County High School summer 7-on-7 league.
It was still early, though. It wasn't even that bad yet.
You know, and Steve, let's put it like this. They have to get a 15-yard pass just to make your decision moot.
I know.
A 10-yard pass means you gained 5 yards on the play.
I mean, passes get deflected. All kinds of things happen.
I think you got a better chance of something getting goofed up on a field goal attempt than stopping these guys.
The Kemper's still trying to justify this call.
That shows you what I think about this defense right now, the way they were playing the last 2 weeks.
And I'm not screaming at him. I'm screaming at Cutter. Yeah. I understand what Lee's saying. He's trying to be logical and... You know, but man.
Guys, Dirk Cutter is halfway to Lovie Smith's 0-8.
Yeah,
2014.
You're correct.
Did we never thought we'd see anything like
at
that?
I'm going to go back to something. I'm going to go back to something you brought up a little bit a while ago, Ira, about you know.
Does
how
this have
the Bucks...
anything to do with Bobby Knight again?
Bobby Knight stories. Although I could talk about him for the next 2 hours.
All right,
but he's one of my favorite coaches. It must be an a-hole, but I love the guy. At any rate, you were kind of talking about how the Bucks got here. You know. And I hate to be a broken record. Steve and I have spoken about this on the Big Dog Show, Steve Dumbig, WDAE 620. We've written about it countless times on our website since last offseason. It began, you know, we're talking about injuries. You're talking about injuries and like, every team has injuries. You know what? Every team has better depth than the Bucks. Those teams that have injuries. Jason Light, I love him to death. You know, we have a beer named after him. Great guy. There's nothing I really don't like about Jason. I hate to say it, but, you know, you got to be honest. He did a horrible job at getting weapons for Jameis Winston. He banked on an old man, Vincent Jackson, with a bum knee. He banked on a guy, at best, a number three receiver, Lewis Murphy, coming back from knee surgery. He banked on a guy like Adam Humphries, largely unproven to be a stud. He's still, you know, nondescript. And then you got the Freddie Martinos of the world straight from, here we go again, Vero Beach, Ramada Inn, Velvet Lined Lounge,
and Kenny Bell was not the answer.
Can I interject?
So Jason Light dropped the ball.
You may.
4 games, Cecil Shorts, 2 catches in 4 games. He's the starting wide receiver tonight with 1 catch.
There's a reason why he was unemployed in September.
Man.
There's a reason why he was unemployed in September. There it is.
Let's cut this guy and pull back Tyquan Underwood out of the CFL or Kevin Ogletree.
You just like his hairstyle.
Or Kevin Ogletree or Chris Owusu. Come on, man.
You're right. Shorts has been negligible, invisible. And I thought he was going to play a little bit of a role on this team.
Two catches in 4 games?
Yeah. So, we talk about injuries.
He's on pace for an 8-catch season.
Yeah, they're hurting from injuries, but they have no depth behind it. And that is on the general manager's desk.
All right, Steve, tonight, there's a lot of factors, I understand. There's some turnovers, like Lee mentioned, but you can't get around the defense tonight, Lee, Steve. It was horrible. It was absolutely horrible.
So what's wrong here? What's wrong?
No punts, by the way.
Besides everything?
our readers that will read my 10 takeaways this morning, Steve, will see that one of them is where is Levante David. Steve, how many weeks can we talk about this? He had 4 tackles.
He's having his worst season.
He has 44 tackles, Lee, at midseason. 44 tackles used to be a good month for Levante David. He's not around the football, gentlemen.
Here's what I'm going to say about Levante David. And I have nothing personal against him. He's a good dude.
And he doesn't look like he's having any fun out there.
Nobody does.
Here's my issue. Yeah, exactly. Here's my issue with Levante David. You know, Cutter talks about we have this losing culture. Fans love to hate Gerald McCoy. Well, Gerald McCoy was on a winning team, you know, so he's not a complete, you know, these fans act like he hasn't won 3 games in a season ever in his career.
He forced a fumble last night.
Yeah, he played well. Levante David skates in the eyes of the fans, absolutely skates. Say what you will about Gerald McCoy, he never put up a goose egg like Levante David did in Arizona. I mean, Levante David's almost invisible. Levante David has never been on a winning team in the NFL. Levante David has admitted he mentally checked out in games after the first play, if I remember correctly. Is that not right, Mr. Isbitz?
Last year, yeah.
Yeah, against the Titans. You want to talk about, the poster child for the losing culture of the Bucks? Levante David. I'm sorry. Nice guy. Talented. Where is he? The common denominator is, since Levante David has come to the Bucks, this team's been moribund. That's one of my favorite words you use.
Steve, you know, maybe he spoiled us. You know, one of those years under Schiano, he was outstanding. He was all over the stat sheet. And, you know, we thought for a while that it was scheme. They're not using him well. Well, Mike Smith's not a dummy. He knows what he's got over there. And you would think he's putting Levante David in a position to make plays, Steve, and he's not making them.
Yeah, this is Levante David's worst season, period. period. I mean, he had success under Lovie. That wasn't the same as Schiano, but he had a very strong second half last year. Came into this year, you know, hey, strong second half, healthy.
He doesn't look particularly motivated. Guys, he just doesn't.
He looks lost.
The body language isn't good.
They got issues, but this podcast does not have issues because it's presented by Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon. A lot of great November specials, especially leases of Cadillacs. You can see those ads on joebucksfan.com and visit edmorriscadillactampa.com and edmorriscadillacbrandon.com. Now, Ira.
With the Bucks' luck, by the way, Steve, Jonathan Banks gets two picks this weekend. Let's throw that out
there. Yeah, of course, of course. Hey, Adrian Claiborne had a sack today.
Do you want me to stick to the game, or can I mention Banks, what he said in Detroit?
I think we should stick to the game right now. All right. Because you know what?
It's fresh.
Fans are still in stunned disbelief here. Yes. And Ira, I've got to ask you, and don't throw it back on Lee. Don't throw it back on me. What is wrong with the coaching with this team? Is Cutter just not getting through? Because there aren't a lot of first-year coaches that get their teams through training camp. Cutter gave them a very light, gentle training camp, protect the bodies, all this stuff, and he managed to get them ready for opening day. They were ready opening day. They
came out.
They came out firing, and they beat a good team on the road. So everything Cutter did up until opening day was the magic touch. And then now this team has gotten the crapper. They're 2-5 since then. They can't beat a good team. And the defense has fallen off the map. Is the coaching getting tuned out here?
There's problems. Beyond the locker room, there's problems. Dirk Cutter has not put a stamp on this team, Lee. He has not. It's early. It's 8 games. But if Dirk Cutter's not disappointed in being 3-5, shame on him. He's on pace to match last year's 6-10, Steve, which was good enough to get a head coach fired. Now, I'm not suggesting Dirk Cutter's going to be gone after year one. I think that would be a mistake. A revolving door again and not doing Jameis Winston any favors in the process. But facts are facts. And, you know, I do the power rankings for Associated Press every week. You know, the Bucks have been hanging at 20, 21, and next week they're going to be at 26. And if they lose to Chicago, they're going to be at 30. And you know, we don't see any reason for optimism. Steve, I'm not trying to speak for every Buck fan out there, but judging from Twitter last night, Lee, and you saw it, season ticket holders have had enough. Now, Steve, they always say that. I understand that. But the frustration is mounting. The players don't look like they're having any fun, and they didn't show up Thursday night, and it's inexcusable. And that is at least as much on the coaches as it is on the players.
I think they showed up initially. They played well, and then, you know, a couple turnovers.
First sign of adversity.
Yeah, and then they start melting.
Lee, turn your mic on.
That would help.
Lee, first sign of adversity.
Yeah, they have a couple turnovers. You know, they started out hot, and then they folded like a cheap suit. Now, real quick here. You know, Steve was saying, hey, you know, Cutter had these guys ready to play. Week one, what's going on now? This is a different team. This is a D-League team, if you think about it. We were talking about the injuries earlier. We were talking about no depth. I mean, you're pulling guys off the street in September and October to play. And that's who they're banking on. They don't have anybody else. Anton Smith, last night, he goes out. You're probably looking at your 7th new running back coming in. Huge bowel movement. He's gone. Who cut a touchdown pass at Atlanta? Vincent Jackson's gone. Mike Evans now is concussion.
I'm going to give Lee that point. Okay,
I'm not going to give it to him.
I'll tell you why I'm going to give him the point. Okay, I'm going to tell you why. Now, yes, the Bucks are a stripped shell of themselves offensively when you look at the skill position players. But isn't that part of the reason why you got to take some chances? Give your defense, let them try to make a play on 3rd and 23 that you declined before. You know what Dirk Cutter has not done, Ira? And I'm going to write about this today on joebucksfan.com, and it's mind-boggling. We are 8 games into this season. Have you seen one trick play, gadget play, unique
flea flicker?
Anything? No. Have you seen anything on special teams? Not counting the Aguayo mess.
Like a reverse.
No mortar. No mortar kicks.
Which no, he's drafted for.
No attempt to block a punt. No real attempt to block field goals.
No surprise onside kick.
Well, I'm going to reinforce what Steve said when he makes his point here. I'm going to reinforce Steve's point here. Just this past week, I'm going to back up a little bit further. Even last year when Dirk Cutter was offensive coordinator, how many times every game you heard Kevin Pamfield's number called? Eligible receiver, he's eligible because they come in and bring him an extra blocker. This year it's Godster Charles. Well, Cutter said this during this piece, you know, before the Falcons game, Dirk Cutter said against the Raiders, when he brought Godster Charles in, the Raiders brought in a fifth defensive lineman to counter that. He's never seen that before. And I'm like, hello, if you once would throw the ball to this extra guy since he's an eligible receiver, that will make the defense honest. They won't put a fifth offensive or defensive lineman out there. I mean, come, Dirk, I can figure that out, and I haven't been coaching since 30 years when I coached a high school team, freshman team.
Hold on, gentlemen. This might be heresy. We might have to end this podcast after I say this. I reject your premise, both of you, on injuries, and I'm going to tell you why. Five offensive linemen. They're there every game, every snap. Hold on. No, I'm going to finish this.
They're good. It's your podcast.
Franchise quarterback. Every snap. By far, your number one receiver. Every snap. Who cares about Vincent Jackson? You were complaining he wasn't doing anything. Now you're yakking that he's not around.
The defense had to play
Boston
honest.
Seferian Jenkins, he wasn't doing anything. Brate's better than he is. You guys have nothing to kick about. You got Robert Ayers. When guys are going down left and right, the Vikings are losing Bridgewater. They're losing Adrian Peterson.
And now they're losing games.
So what? They're 5-2.
You think Dan Quinn lays awake at night about Freddie Martino? Vincent Jackson.
You guys are yakking about Charles Sims and Jacquees Rogers. Let's calm down here, gentlemen.
They produced.
Now, Doug Martin was a Pro Bowler. I'm giving you that. But until this week, they had Rogers, who was doing a nice job.
Yes.
You know, what other teams have every offensive lineman, all five guys intact at the middle of the year?
And that's not the issue, right, Ryder? That's not the issue.
Never mind, that's not the issue.
No, it's not the issue.
They got their quarterback. They got a receiver who's having a Pro Bowl season. I reject your premise, gentlemen. I don't think injuries that have very much to do with this 3-5 start. Their problems go way beyond a problem with Charles Sims, gentlemen. I'm sorry.
Ira fired up. I love it.
I am fired up.
Well, I reject your premise of rejecting my premise.
Well, unless you think Jacquees Smith is a key figure.
No,
you might.
I'll say this. This offense is built to have a running game. And they got nothing from Peyton Barber against the Falcons. And he was the go-to guy tonight. It was his time to step up and shine.
I call him pedestrian.
Nothing.
Okay, the first drive.
2.8 yards a carry. Nothing. This Falcons defense, Ira, is not going to go down as a top 10 NFL defense this year. They got nothing with those five offensive linemen you're talking about. In the run game, they got zip.
So why don't you blame the five offensive linemen?
They're not dominant. I mean, look, there was a lot of pressure off the edge tonight. Damar Dotson, Donovan Smith, both had bad penalties. Had bad penalties. 11 penalties by the Bucs. 2 gifts by Joe Hawley. The Falcons won't be receiving any Christmas gifts from him this year. They already got 2. it was not the best performance by the O-line tonight.
All I'm saying is, Lee, this is a 3-5 football team right now, and they're playing like it. And they are what their record is, so
which is just what Cutter said.
They look like a bad football team,
and they are.
All right. Now
you want to reject that premise right now?
I'm in lockstep with you, Ira. I just we got to talk it out here. Injuries are a factor here, but they're not a factor when you don't show up. And you can have plenty of guys playing intense, hard-nosed football. No fan watched this game against the Falcons and walked away saying, man, those Bucks lost, but they really fly around and play smash mouth football.
And nobody walked around saying they lost this game because they didn't have Vincent Jackson either.
Steve made a great point. Remember that Carolina game? I can't remember Bucks fans being so miserable off a win. They're like, oh my gosh, this team's terrible. How could they lucked out? And that's kind of what Steve said. You know, fans are like, oh my gosh.
You know what they looked like tonight? guys last night. They looked like a team that was that hadn't gotten over how horrible it was to lose to the Raiders.
Now, to those guys' credit, and Cutter too, I was down in the locker room briefly. I mean, I'm to the point where I don't even want to go to the locker room anymore. What are they going to say?
You know, well, this is it's a broken record. Same four guys you talked to.
Yeah,
right?
Same four guys, and it's a broken record. So what's the point? Why would I go in there?
Isbitz probably went to the Falcons. You know, he usually takes the easy
I
way
did.
Out.
I talked to Scott Pioli. He's talked to a few other
Claiborne,
people.
Claiborne, sure.
Claiborne talked. He usually doesn't like to talk. But at any rate, I was in the locker room. Brent Grimes, you know, Roy Cummings, one of your former comrades at the Tribune, he was trying to, you know, he asked Grimes, he goes, hey, you know, you're out playing 80-some plays 4 days ago in the hot sun that catch up with you in the second half. And Grimes, at first, he's like, what are you trying to get me to say? And Roy's like, I'm not trying to get you to say anything. I'm asking you a question. If you want to answer, that's all I'm looking for. And Grimes kind of danced it a little bit. And I just had to follow up on that, but I wanted him to calm down a little bit. Yeah, he wasn't mad, but, you know, let him ease back a little bit. And so I asked Brent. I asked basically the same question. I said, Brent, three, four days ago, you're playing 80-some plays. You're in overtime. Atlanta was not. And he's like, well, I'm not going to say no, but that's just an excuse. To his credit. And then we talked to Hey Jude. Hey Jude said pretty much the same thing. He's like, it's a football game. We're out there, aren't we? And Cutter said, well, we can't use that as an excuse. I think it was an element and a factor.
I got a question and a follow-up. 4 minutes left. Jameis Winston is on the field. The Bucs are down four scores. They put a touchdown in. He gets hurt on a two-point play with 4 minutes to go. Question, does he belong in the game?
No.
Follow-up question, have we reached the point now with Dirk Cutter and his desire to play, let Jameis, quote-unquote, go down with the ship? Have we reached the point where Team Glazer calls Mr. Cutter into the office and says, Dirk, when the game's out of reach, pull Jameis because that's good business, smart business, good football, and that's what we want?
Very, very well said, Mr. Isbitz.
And it's good for job security.
You know what? I think it might take that. It might take that.
Maybe it happened.
Because there's a sense, and this might be a little simplistic, that Jameis is running things at one buck place. There's a little sense of that.
You're not far off.
You can't ask Jameis Winston, do you want to come out? He's never going to say yes. He has no vote, Lee. Zero vote in this referendum on whether you're coming out with 4 minutes left.
He shouldn't.
Cutter, you're the coach. Yank him. First of all, Glennon, until tonight, you know, when he had to take Winston out. Glennon hadn't taken a snap since Winston was drafted. Since the day he was drafted, he had no snaps. Zero. So the idea is sooner or later you're going to need Glennon to fill in. You know, maybe Winston gets knocked out for a half. Wouldn't be a bad idea to get Glennon some snaps, gentlemen.
You make
a very good point, Isbitz. When the game's out of reach, a la Arizona in week two, get him out of there.
Yeah.
Get him out of there. That's what other teams do. That's the smart thing.
So I don't know if people, just in case people didn't hear about this or didn't read about it, his press conference, Jameis's press conference tonight, he was adamant his knee was fine. And in fact, after he stepped down from the podium, unannounced, he did a soft shoe act with his wingtips.
Do we have any video of that?
But we have a full story up at joebucksfan.com. Jameis stepped off the podium. You won't see it on the video on buccaneers.com. He stepped off the podium. He scowled at Mr. Rick Stroud of the Tampa Bay Times. And then he started doing
soft shoe.
Sort of a tap.
Did he call him Dr. Stroud before he did it?
He did an angry tap. Well, I'll call it an angry tap dance slash running in place.
Yeah, he's in wingtips. You can hear the shoes. Click, 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 click.
And he exchanged some words with Stroud. I don't have any exact quotes for you.
Something like, see, I can do, my knee's okay. Something like that, right?
But Stroud started the press conference peppering Jameis about his injury with some questions. And Jameis, who has done this before, he denied full knowledge of the...
He did that to me last year. He said I couldn't remember to play. Lee?
He denied full knowledge of any injury. And Stroud pressed him on it, and he said, I'm fine. I don't know what you're talking about. And he did that to you. And, of course, on joebucksfan.com, I read that was before you were part of the team. I wrote up a story that Jameis might have a head injury and go into concussion protocol because he forgot about an important play.
I don't remember the game.
It was Cincinnati preseason. Looked like he broke his ankle.
Yeah,
you asked him about it. He's like, he played dumb. I don't remember that. And you're like, what are you talking about?
Jameis also played dumb last year. I forget which game it was, but he fumbled at the goal line. Somebody asked him about it. I don't think I did.
He also said, quote, we're a great football team. tonight.
He did. He's you know, I admire his drive. He's not going to show any ounce of quit.
He's not backing down.
Last week, and I've talked about this with Steve Dumig on 620 WDAE. Steve and I have, and we've written about it. And Justin Pawlowski on his podcast has discussed it. His press conference last week, Jameis's, he actually looked like the losing had finally gotten to him. He looked depressed. Well, he's gotten over that. NFL Network has shown out countless times of his pep talk before the game where he was just over the top animated. It almost looked like a Rodney Dangerfield skit or something. And then, of course, his press conference tonight, he's got the fire back.
You know, I just we're so close to this. Sometimes we can't see these things, Steve. But they got back from San Francisco at 500 with a three-game homestand looming in front of them. And if they could have won two out of three, that's not asking for a sweep. Two out of three. They're over 500, and they're relevant. And maybe they can beat Atlanta as one of those three
games. Maybe they could have been
in
first place, yeah.
And instead, you know, even if they beat the Bears, which is no guarantee, certainly, Steve, next week, they're going to be under 500. When they go back on the road again to Kansas City, and that's a tough place to play, mm-hmm. as Lee knows, Arrowhead, and the Chiefs are pretty good. So in the span of these 2 weeks, Steve, including that abomination we saw against Oakland, when, you know, the great quote from Dotson, that'll serve as the quote of the year. They tried in every way to give us the game. We didn't take it. Mm-hmm. You can't beat that, Isbitz. That's why we go to DeMar Dotson.
Well, I got to say this. Our first, I don't think we're too close to realize that the Bucs had a homestand, had the red carpet rolled
everything
out for them.
Lined up.
The red carpet was rolled out, and they choked. They didn't show up. The defense didn't show up. Tonight, on the heels of an epic, historic disaster against the Raiders.
Guys, one thing we haven't mentioned,
is life as a Bucs fan.
Lee, tell me if I'm stretching here. I don't think I am, but what stunned me and Messrs. Sapp, Brooks, and Lynch, by the way, was, now you got to look at me when I say this.
I'm watching you. I'm producing the podcast. Go ahead.
How wide open and uncovered Matt Ryan's targets were all evening
pitching
long.
So wait a minute. So this comes right uncovered. This comes right from Brooks and Sapp. And
No. But I'm saying that they were looking at the screens and saying, you know, they keep running the same plays and the guy keeps getting open.
Well, Steve was sat next to me last night at the game, and Steve at one point just kind of shook his head. He goes, "It's pitch and catch. It's pitch and catch."
They weren't contested, Steve.
No.
Contested.
Well,
you know,
look, it's the same old story. With there is no pass rush. Now, I like Robert Ayers. I thought he deserved.
Robert Ayers not made a stitch of difference.
He deserved a mulligan for last week, coming off an injury, but completely invisible. Completely. I understand Jake Matthews, good football player, but most teams have a good left tackle. So, it's just depressing. Depressing.
There was one play deep in Atlanta's territory. If I remember correctly, Ryan might have been in the end zone when he dropped back, or certainly close to the goal line. You could have clocked how much time he had to pass the ball with an hourglass.
Absolutely.
You didn't like that. I thought you liked it one line.
Not badly.
It was utterly ridiculous. Maybe if I use sundial.
It's 1 a.m. Give the guy a break. All right. Cut two things before we wrap up the podcast. Three things. First, if you're listening to us, thank you. Iris here on JoeBucksFan.com, his proud home on the internet and everywhere else.
We're going to be the last ones out of here, Rusty.
Well, it's what we do. It's what we do. Of course, if you have an iPhone, this is very simple. You go to press your podcast button. You search Bucks. And, there you go. There's the Ira Kaufman podcast. You subscribe to it. And if you hate JoeBucksFan.com, but just stumbled upon this out of the blue, and you love Ira, I understand there are a few Ira fans out there, then you'll get a nice alert by subscribing to the podcast. It'll come right to your phone when it posts.
Am I to understand that Brooks and the Big Dog said some nice things about me last week, Steve?
You know, I was waiting.
I have not heard the broadcast. I haven't heard it.
It's at the end of the Derek Brooks Big Dog Show. It's on 620's website. If you go to the Steve Dumig page, I didn't hear it, but I heard about it since it was so monumental.
Doggy throwing some bouquets my way, Lee?
Apparently, I didn't actually hear the broadcast.
Well,
so
it's rare for him to give us some compliments, so Brooks started talking about you, and it led Big Dog to throw a bouquet in our direction, so that's why, and Brooks noted that on Twitter. Brooks, I will say, I'm going to speak for Mr. Derek Brooks and say he's a huge Joe Bucks fan, and I don't think he would even be embarrassed to say it. So,
well, when I
saw
Brooks down on the field last night, Steve, one of the first things I said to him was, you know, since I lost my job at the Trib, I'm expecting, can't you take me to Hooters or something for lunch, Brooks? You know, reach into your pocket a little bit. He laughed and said, maybe next year, Kaufman. If you get Lynch in the Hall, maybe next year.
All right, well, I want to tee up Lee here real quick, because Lee... about half an hour ago, we mentioned Jonathan Banks. I know Lee wanted to say something about Banks' comments in Detroit recently.
Well, it was telling what Banks said in Detroit. Steve and I had a good source with the Bucks on the team, a gentleman on. We have a couple on the roster, and Lovey wasn't the most beloved coach. Now he had some supporters. It wasn't unanimous. It was hardly universal. Well, it was pretty obvious just from a layman's point of view that Lovey was trying to run Jonathan Banks out. Well, we kind of found out why now. He went on record with the Detroit Free Press, and he talked about when he was with the Bucks with Schiano as a rookie. I can't remember the defensive backs coach. Well, that guy's up in Detroit now.
Odom?
Yeah,
Odom.
And evidently, you know, Banks did really, really well working with him. Well, when Lovey came here, and this is Banks speaking, not me. It's on records, on Detroit Free Press. Banks was saying Lovey came in, and he's teaching Banks some methods, and Banks is like, this ain't going to work. And so Banks, I'm taking some liberties here. Banks was kind of thinking, well, do I do what the coach tells me to do, and he ruins my career, or should I try to incorporate what I was told before that actually works and kind of, you know, self-preservation? Well, he tried to incorporate what Odin had taught him and see if it worked with Lovey, and it did. He led the team in interceptions, but Lovey was just enraged that he wouldn't go 100% with what Lovey did, and that's why whenever someone, you know this as well as I do, whenever someone asked him about Jonathan Banks, he always invoked Toast Jenkins. Mike Jing, always. And he did his best. He was in Lovey's doghouse. He did his best to run him out of town, and apparently that's why. Banks was like, you know what? You know, I could do exactly what Lovey says, and I'll be ruined, and my career is gone, or I could try to do some things that I know will work in this system, and
you know,
Lovey went nuts.
It makes perfect mathematical sense, Isbitz. You look at it like this. Lovey wanted 100% from Jonathan Banks, and Lovey also wanted 70% completion rates against the Buccaneers.
Oh,
so you take your pick there, Isbitz.
Mr. Matt Ryan, I believe, came in at 74.5% tonight. Unbelievable. It's hard to believe.
He's having a sensational year. He really is.
Not that sensational.
Yeah.
And a quick trivia question for you, Ira. Who was the last Buccaneer cornerback to have 4 interceptions?
In a game?
In a season.
Oh, I know.
Oh, cornerback?
Yeah.
Jonathan Banks.
Jonathan Banks in 2014, and that was the most since Jonathan Banks in 2013.
Nice.
He's gone now, and Bucks cornerbacks, nobody has more than one. So we're working halfway through the season. All right, Ira, your next podcast is Tuesday, and we'll take a deep breath. We'll look a little bit more at halfway through the season, where we are, when what's happening at that point, get a little better assessment. And it should be fun as we roll toward the second half.
Let me give our listeners a little sneak preview, because if either of you guys disagree with me on Tuesday, I'm going to drop the microphone and walk out into the wilderness. But when it comes to the Bucks' best player at through the first 8 games, I don't believe we're going to have much discussion. Number 13, end of discussion. So I'm so impressed. And you know what? Next week, I will give our readers and listeners a peek into what Mr. Chris Collinsworth had to say about young Mr. Evans, and certainly Chris Collinsworth knows a great receiver when he sees one.
Sure, I hope he didn't have a diarrhea of the mouth with all the statistics.
And this was his
two-bit operation.
And Steve, this was before the game. And then Evans went out and had heck of a game. Yeah.
Interesting. All right. That's the Ira Kaufman podcast, only on JoeBucksFan.com. If you like it, you know, review the podcast on iTunes. Just type up a review. It looks good. It's worth absolutely nothing. But
can they send some questions, Steve, for next week?
We don't need to hear from the people, Ira. We don't do that.
Listen to you, Steve.
No, we can. You can always I follow Ira on Twitter, iKaufman76, and send him all the questions you want. Ira can bring in some questions and address his people directly, since he has his own minions.
I didn't know I had any people, Lee. But
you got people. You got people out there. Right. Maybe Brooks has a question for you. You know what? I'll ask him if he has a question for the Ira.
The pressure's the Lynch Hall of Fame thing is the pressure's building on.
Why won't
right
Derek
now.
Brooks take you to lunch? I don't understand this.
Well, he's not known for reaching into his pocket. Let's put it like that, the Kemper. That's the polite way of saying it.
He's also known for getting free lunch around town. So, I mean, yeah, it works both ways.
He's got the first dollar he ever made, Lee, and he's got a lot of them.
Wow.
And he's working for the NFL also.
You know, maybe right. he can get you into a Storm game and get you some free popcorn.
If they're still playing.
He says they will be playing. I did ask.
That's good.
All right,
that's
for good. Next week, right, Steve?
All right, Tuesday we'll be back on the Ira Kaufman podcast. Go Bucks.